her speak.
Let her speak. Let her speak.
What is she doing out there?
I'll cut off her mic.
No. Let her speak.
Let Her Speak is a show that works its way through the alphabet from A to Z. We talk about music and culture and things we're obsessed with. We flirt with controversy and politics, always framed by a single letter. From head to heart to hand, from heaven to hell, from home to hotel, his and hers. Over this hour, we're going to explore the eighth letter, the often silent letter H. Welcome to Let Her Speak. Hi, Tina.
Hey, Jackie.
How are you?
Good. How's it going?
It's good. We're back.
Cool. I know. We had a week hiatus.
We had a hiatus.
A hiatus.
If you will.
Yeah. I have to adjust the mic. Sorry. It's going to be weird for a second.
That's
Here
okay.
we go. Done.
So I feel like when we were planning this week's show, there was one thing that was super obvious that we had to talk about.
Oh, yeah.
Houndstooth.
Anyone who knows you, Jackie, knows that you love this pattern.
Yeah. And I mean, I've loved it for a long time, but it's reached a peak recently.
Yeah, it's reached
new heights, if you will.
It's reached peak houndstooth.
Peak houndstooth. So a bit of a background on how. Okay, so I've always been into houndstooth. I don't know where it started, but I just like the pattern.
Mm-hmm.
And then the sort of recent thing with houndstooth and me started because I was putting on a lip balm that was houndstooth pattern.
Like the casing, not the actual.
Like, not the lip balm itself, but like the tube it came in.
Yeah.
And my husband was, at that time of his life, was really obsessed with watching Trailer Park Boys.
Yeah.
And he was like, is that a Ricky from Trailer Park Boys lip balm? Which I was like, no, it's a houndstooth pattern. What are you talking about? And he was like, oh, Ricky from Trailer Park Boys is always wearing a shirt with that pattern. And I was like, it's not a Ricky from Trailer Park Boys. It's houndstooth. It's a thing. He's like, what do you mean it's a thing? And I was like, oh, I have all these other houndstooth things. Let me show you all of my houndstooth things.
Yeah.
So at that point in time, I had like pants and a blouse. And like a blazer and an undershirt.
You
and
a blazer?
Yeah, it's
Have
a
I seen
it's
it?
A no. It's very business. I don't wear it to things anymore that much. It's like a knee length, like dressy sport coat
blazer.
Yeah, back from my office days.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So when I started to like, when I didn't even think I really realized how many houndstooth things I had until I went to look for them all to demonstrate that this was just a pattern that was in fashion.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is ridiculous. Why do you have so many houndstooth things? And I was like, I just collect them over many, many years. And they never go to style because it's timeless.
Yeah.
It's a classic print. And so then he just got the idea that this was like an obsession of mine, which it really wasn't, but in like a conscious way.
Yeah. It's just like, oh, this is a thing I like.
And then he started buying things for me as gifts to cheer me up that were houndstooth print.
Yeah. One of my faves is your steering wheel cover.
Yeah. That was the first one. He actually just like, I was having a rough day and he came home and he was like, come down to the car. I have a surprise for you.
Yeah.
And he had gotten a houndstooth steering wheel cover. And then later, when we were planning our wedding, we had to go to Canadian Tire to get some like crap for the wedding, you know, like torches and like candles and crap.
Yeah.
And they had houndstooth seat covers. So our car also has houndstooth seat covers.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Which,
those are good.
So I've also gotten many other gifts from other people as well. And I have like an oversized houndstooth bag that I carry around with me a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And, when I get out of the car with the houndstooth bag in the houndstooth seats and the houndstooth steering wheel, I figure that other people in the parking lot laugh at me quietly to themselves. They're like, that's a, look at that silly woman in her houndstooth patterns.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like it's kind of, you know, the Mary Kay car, the hot pink car.
Yeah.
Well, it's kind of like if now if your car were houndstooth, that'd be pretty epic.
For the listeners at home, our car also has a Hawaiian Lua girl on the dash, dice in the mirror.
Yeah. You got a lot of stuff going on in that car.
And a air freshener that is a tiny tree with an American flag printed on it.
Yeah.
So we have a lot of flair.
You have bumper stickers too.
We do have bumper stickers.
Yeah.
I enjoy having a novelty inspired car.
Yeah. So contrast, my car has zero of that going on.
Right.
Partially I think because we want to drive like a-holes. And we live in a small town.
Yeah. Yeah. You can't hide.
No.
There's no anonymity with our car.
No.
It's clearly our car.
Yeah. But it's kind of cool because sometimes I see you on the highway. Like I've seen you on the highway coming back into town. And I'm like,
you can see
her.
The houndstooth from 800 meters away.
Yeah. It's good.
So yeah, we also bought furniture. We also bought a houndstooth chair this year. How could we resist it? Now it's just like, anyways, I've been trying to not buy as much houndstooth stuff
recently.
As long
as you don't go full out all houndstooth everything, you're not that crazy couple, you know?
I've expanded it into other black and white patterns. So today you'll notice I'm wearing a black and white polka dot shirt and I have a black and white heart print water bottle.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, that's good.
So I've been trying to branch out on the black and white prints. But anyways, back to houndstooth, as is the letter H.
Yes.
So sometimes it's called dog tooth or puppy tooth if it's really small.
Oh, that's really cute.
It is cute. It's Scottish in origin. It was named after, obviously, the jagged effect that might happen if someone took a bite out of something like a dog.
Right, okay.
And it was often used in hunting clothes. Mm. It's not really like a new pattern. It's very old-timey, mostly in menswear.
Right.
The French... So when we were planning our wedding, which also... had houndstooth in it.
I know.
We were looking for neckties and we went into a Le Chateau in Montreal and we tried to ask them and the girl working there had no idea. So this was early on and Ed thought that this meant I was making up the houndstooth thing. Okay. He's like, she works in a fashion store and she has no idea what it is. And I was like, it's just because she doesn't know about fashion doesn't mean it's not a thing.
It's Le Chateau. Come on.
Exactly. But it turns out that they call it something else. They call it pied de poule. Which is chicken foot.
Oh.
So she just like didn't, but we learned that later. We were like, oh, she probably didn't know because she was super French. It's called something else.
No, it's because it's a completely different name and it's based on a completely different species of animal.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's amazing. So I was looking up houndstooth and I was trying to sort of like look at various ways it was used in history. And I thought it was really interesting that, and I thought like, this is maybe why I relate to it. When you wear it, it's not a soft print. It comes from menswear. It's like an aggressive kind of print.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the kind of print that a fierce woman would wear, not like a young girl.
Right.
I was like, I relate to that.
Mature.
Right. Maybe like a knee length, like houndstooth blazer is not the kind of thing that like you wear when you are not messing around. Like you go into a meeting with that on, you're like, I am making a statement.
That's
Look
true.
At me. I am powerful.
Yeah.
So I relate to that. Okay. They got really big in the 60s. Jeffrey Bean was a fashion designer and he made houndstooth dresses and trimmed them with lace. And the women went crazy for those and they couldn't keep them on the shelves. And then the 80s, it was kind of like sort of reached a boiling point. It was really popular. It was like here and there in different colors and mm-hmm. put together different ways. And there was a designer, I hope I say this right, Yoji Yamamoto.
Yep.
Autumn 2003, his entire collection was houndstooth.
Cool.
Which is, I think, around the time I started buying houndstooth.
Yeah.
When I think, like, back in my wardrobe buying days.
Did you watch an episode of fashion television? You're like, yes.
Probably. I think subconsciously,
Jeannie
right?
Jeannie Becker, tell me what's up.
It trickles down, right?
Yeah.
And then I also thought it was interesting. So Christian Dior, the late fashion designer Christian Dior, mm-hmm. really made houndstooth his own. And his first perfume, Miss Dior, has houndstooth on the bottle.
Oh.
So I think that's why I, in my mind, associate with like classic fashion. Like I think when you say classic fashion, you think of Dior, right?
Yeah.
It's like the ultimate. So I got looking into it and I came across this collection from 2009, Alexander McQueen.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Alexander McQueen's last runway collection was fall 2009.
Yeah.
And it was almost 100% houndstooth.
Wow.
It was houndstooth and harlequin prints.
Oh.
And it's just bonkers, like brilliant, amazing.
That's cool.
If you want to see it, you can see it on Vogue.com. You just look up Alexander McQueen,
right.
Fall Winter 2009,
okay.
And you can see it. You can flip through like every look. It was his last collection before committing suicide mm-hmm. in February of 2010. And it was like high drama, and he was like angry with the entire fashion industry and thought everything was throwaway and. He was like not okay with like fast fashion. Like he thought everything should have like quality and last. So he did the houndstooth collection because he wanted to like make a reference to Christian Dior's use of houndstooth.
Right. Okay.
So I think that is probably like the sole reason houndstooth is at like this peak of trendiness right now. You can just get houndstooth on like every crap, like lip balms, and, like, locker mirrors. I've got like, when we were buying stuff for the wedding, it was like, you could get it on every print. Like I think you'll recall we went to Michael's and they had like houndstooth paper, houndstooth picture frames, houndstooth, whatever. Like it's on everything.
Yeah.
And it's probably trickled down from this McQueen collection in 2009.
Oh, absolutely. And kind of anything with fashion and the trickle down effect of, okay, so this has come up with, and then it comes down and then you're like, oh, now it's at, you know, you can see it at Target or H&M or like the kind of like fast fashion places. I'm always reminded of the brilliant speech from, oh my God, The Devil Wears Prada,
mm-hmm.
the Meryl Streep character. She makes this speech about like, this is why the sweater you're wearing is turquoise. This is like coming from, you know, this was high fashion 4 years ago. And like now this is where you're at.
Yeah.
And this is like, you know, people who like me and you, like we can afford to shop at H&M and like Le Chateau. Yeah. We can't afford to purchase things Alexander McQueen.
I'm not going to buy like $1,000 scarf.
No.
Although I would like to buy $1,000 Alexander McQueen scarf. If anyone wants to buy one for me as a gift, I am accepting of the gifts.
We'll put it on our Amazon wish list. No, I'm kidding. but yeah, I know. I just always thought that that was like an interesting phenomenon of the like the trickle down effect from like high fashion to, you know, not low fashion, but like fast fashion.
Fast fashion.
Accessible fashion, you could say as well.
Yeah. 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 And it takes a while, kind of goes through that. And what the amazing thing that I think about houndstooth, and it's funny because recently I've noticed that there's like these bad, it's like crappy, whatever products. Like we were at a Giant Tiger recently and there was like the drinking glass that had like houndstooth on it. It was like, I love my bulldog houndstooth drinking glass.
Yeah.
But it was like a bad houndstooth pattern. It wasn't jagged like it's supposed to be. It was just like a square turned on its side kind of, but it was like a knockoff houndstooth.
Yeah. Well, that's why it was $1.
but I think it's because like the person who's making like digital files for that.
Yeah.
Well, they don't understand. It takes too much time to make houndstooth. I'm just going to like make this easier knockoff print of a thing.
And that's kind of interesting too. Cause it's like that, you know, that designer or whatever doesn't know or care about the history of the print where it's coming from, right? Yeah. So, you know, there's a specific way it's going and that makes the graphic print.
Yes.
Like it's a repeated thing. It's in two colors.
Yeah. Well, and it comes from the print of it comes from a way of weaving the fabric.
Right.
Which would have been used in hunting clothing.
Right.
So you get so that like wool, tweeds. Yeah. Yeah. And then back as far as the 20s and 30s, you would have found it in men's hunting clothing.
Yeah.
So it's like woven to keep you warm while you're out
shooting
pheasants and foxes and such in Scotland.
Yep. Exactly.
And so like, to my mind, I think the black and white is classic cause it's like, looks gray from afar, quite small. And then the like, tan and brown would be classic as the two colors.
Yeah. I see, obviously, like I see black and white everywhere. I don't really see the natural hues anymore.
Oh, I do like those though.
Yeah.
So I have a song. Ooh. So we had a different song scheduled for this, and then at the last minute, I decided to change it.
Going rogue.
I chose a song from the music that was played at the 2009 runway show. It's a Tori Amos song, but it's an Armand Van Helden remix, which starts with an H.
Oh,
so it just kind of works.
All right.
So this is Tori Amos.
Honey, bring it close to my lips, yeah. Honey,
You're listening to Letter Speak, Van Cleek FM, 88.7, the
voice
of the community. That was Tori Amos.
Yeah, that was crazy.
It was a really crazy remix.
I felt like I was at a 2000s fashion show.
Yeah, you should.
Yeah.
You showed me one of the craziest dance sequences I've ever seen in my life today.
Yes, I did. And it's from a movie musical called Hell's a Poppin'.
Which, can I just say, that sounds like a very modern turn of phrase.
Yes. And this movie is insane. I highly recommend you watch it in its entirety. I believe you can find it almost completely on YouTube.
Okay.
Even though it's not going to be, you know, it's not going to look amazing, but it's a 1940s black and white musical. Mm-hmm. You'll get the gist of what's going on.
Yeah.
So this movie was made in 1941. It was based on a stage musical. The stage musical had zero plot. It basically just had sight gags, dirty jokes, and ongoing gunshots.
It's not really that different from a lot of modern comedies.
Right. Okay, but this is 1941.
Yeah.
Or, you know, but previous to that, because it was a stage show first.
Yeah.
It's just fart jokes and dirty language.
Yeah, just like, I was like, that sounds like an Adam Sandler movie.
Yeah, gross. So I watched the film a bunch of times as a child, and I freaking loved it because it was hilarious.
Right.
And so it opens on our two main characters, who are these two guys. It doesn't even matter what their names are. It's like Chip and Ollie, like these two bumbly, like chubby white dudes. And they're in hell. It opens on hell.
Oh.
And so we see all these devils and demons and people, you know, dressed as like 1940s showgirls, but, you know, being tortured. But it's like funny torture. Like they're
hilarious torture.
And they have this like hilarious, this really funny overture of hell's a poppin'. Na, 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 na.
Whoa.
It's great. Yeah, it's amazing. And so they, there's this weird plot that kind of gets, you know, it was put on by Universal Studio. They're like, well, we're going to fund this film. Like, there has to be a plot and a love interest.
Right.
So these two guys, they go to help their friend win over a woman. Of course, she's mm-hmm. rich. Mm-hmm. Then they have this huge amphitheater on their crazy rich person property.
Mm-hmm.
And then they go put on a show because that's what every musical from the 1940s has to do.
So it's a show within a movie.
Sort of. Okay. Yeah, exactly. So basically our hero, who's a young man, he needs to have this show be very successful so he can marry this woman and show her parents that he can, you know, provide for her and be a successful Broadway producer.
Okay.
Yeah. But like, oh man, this movie is hysterical. So the dance scene you were referring to, so it's a bunch of, it's a Lindy Hop routine.
Yeah.
With I think it's three or four couples, and
it's bonkers.
It is absolutely bonkers.
I mean, I've seen some Lindy Hopping before, but this is
crazy. This is a Lindy Hop to end all Lindy Hop. So it's performed by Whitey's Lindy Hoppers, which were an African-American dance troupe. They were actually formed in 1935, and these are the original like bad boys of Lindy Hop.
Yeah.
And it is totally insane. Like, they are throwing men and women around
all over
this room.
Women throwing men throwing women.
Yeah, all over this room. They're all black dancers.
Mm-hmm.
And the interesting thing is the only, like, it's pretty much how they're shoehorned into the film. They're the help who are there to, you know, it's like the cooks and the maids and the cleaners.
Right.
So they're in their, like, help uniforms. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of the way that the film is explaining, oh, they're there to, you know, cook and clean and whatever.
Right.
Like, they're not guests at this party that's going on.
Right.
Yeah.
Because it's 1941.
Oh, yeah. It's 1941, so it's all, you know, segregation and everything.
Yeah.
But they have the most amazing scene in the film, which is this insane dance. That's just like long shots.
Yeah.
Of just like crazy dancing.
Yeah, lengthy shots with like the most ridiculous aerial tricks and flipping and floating and popping and whatever all the words are for Lindy Hop moves.
Yeah.
I was going to say popping and locking. Maybe that's a Lindy Hop move. Maybe. Everything old is new again.
Totally. I would argue that totally makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're just doing these insane moves. So, but it's also a conventional musical, mm-hmm. where we have the, you know, the hero characters. So they like sing love songs and there's a big music, like, to do show at the end. Mm-hmm. But it's always sprinkled with like these super zany, ridiculous gags that happen. So there's this one weird character who's just screaming for somebody named Mrs. Jones throughout the entire film. And every time we see him, he has a little tree in a pot. But every time he's in a new scene, the plant or the tree in the pot is a little bit bigger.
Ah.
So by the end of the film, he has like a backhoe with this gigantic tree in a pot on it. And he's yelling for some woman named Mrs. Jones.
Okay, so this kind of gag is like it's what so you immediately brought to mind. You know that Just for Laughs gag show?
Oh,
the, like Just for Laughs, yes. like French, like it's always like
Just pour you.
Yeah, Just pour.
Yeah,
they do like a gag like that where it's like a woman like at a like a cafe and a guy comes and like brings her a flower and then like another guy comes and brings her like a plant, like a rose bush, and then like the other guy comes and brings a rose tree, and then like it ends at the end so of like a guy pulling up with like a backhoe, like a forest in it.
So it's these ridiculous gags, and I don't know. I like musicals a lot, quite a lot. And as a kid, I really, really like them because it's, you know, simple plots. You kind of know what's going to happen. And then you get these really great numbers.
So you like musicals.
Yeah.
Have you seen Hamilton?
I have not, but I've heard so many things about it.
It's all everyone's talking about on the internet. And even in real life, I've had people say, I've never seen it, but I'm listening to the soundtrack nonstop.
Really?
Yes.
And it's like a hip hop R&B soundtrack.
Yes.
But it's about the a founding father of American.
Yes.
But a country, American, whatever. So it's Alexander Hamilton, who I briefly read his Wikipedia, like about the actual person. And it is interesting. But this musical is just taken off and it's like sold out completely.
It's crazy. It's all I'm ever hearing about.
And they do these insane lotteries for available tickets. And it's like 50,000 people will register for the lottery for 200 tickets.
That's wild. It doesn't feel like it's a very common thing for in the modern age for musicals to catch the attention of a country.
Yeah. Oh, no, absolutely. And it won 3 Tonys this past award season. It won Best Musical, Best Book, and I believe it was Best Song, dance? Let's have a check.
So basically, it's going to be on theater stages everywhere in America. Best original score. It's going to be on theater stages across North America forever until the end of time. Kind of like the Phantom of the Opera. That would be my guess.
Yeah. And actually, a couple of the, two of the kind of original actors. I don't know what to call musical people.
I do believe they're called actors, yes.
Actors. They can sing. They can dance.
They're triple threats.
They're triple threats.
Tina.
Triple. Sorry. Two of the triple threats are leaving the production soonish or at the end of their contract. So people are like, oh my God, I have to see the original. Yeah.
The original cast.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know. So
if it came to the NAC, I might go.
Maybe we should like try to see it before we get back to the letter H on the show. And then in the next time we do the letter H, we can talk about Hamilton.
And how amazing it was. Yeah. Or did it live up to the hype?
I'm not a musical person particularly. There's been a few musicals in my life that I have liked.
Yeah.
I have less than a handful, less than 5. So, but I'm prepared to be amazed.
I think it's, I don't love everything unconditionally.
Yeah.
Like I really liked Hairspray.
Speaking of H's.
Because I thought it had a really good message and I thought the film version was really good. And I've really liked a few other ones. But I'm not like a huge musical theater nerd.
Yeah.
I swear.
Yeah.
I'm not camped out at Hamilton.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sure it's going to be insane if they're trying to wrap up the original cast. Yeah. Let's play another song.
Let's do it.
We got a Lindy Hop song by Fats Waller because I thought that would be a fun thing to play.
Yeah.
And
change it up.
Yeah. You know. So we'll do that and then we'll come back. This is Fats Waller, Hold Tight on Let Her Speak.
I want some seafood, mama.
I want some seafood, mama.
Choo-choo to Broadway food, Cincinnati. Don't get icky with the 1, 2, 3. Life is just so fine on the solid side of the line. So hold tight, hold tight, hold tight, hold tight. Put a racket back. I want some seafood, mama. Shrimpers and rice, they're very nice. Hold tight, hold tight. Hold tight, hold tight, put a racket back, it won't be food. Mama, steamers and sauce, and then of course, I like oysters, lobsters too, like my taste for fish. When I come home from work at night, I get my favorite dish, fish. Hold tight, hold tight, hold tight, hold tight, put a racket back, it won't be food. Mama, shrimp and rice. They're very nice.
Hold tight.
Hold tight.
Hold tight.
Hold tight.
Brack-a-sack, I want some seafood, mama. Oh, that's very nice.
Hold tight.
Hold tight.
Hold tight. Hold tight. Brack a sack, I want some paper. Say, I like Porky's mackerel too. Tasty butter fish. When I come home late at night, prepare my favorite dish.
Fish. Hold tight.
Hold tight.
Hold tight.
Hold tight.
Brack a sack, I want some seafood, mama.
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 Fish, 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 fish. Fish, 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 fish. Fish, 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 fish.
You're listening to Letters Speak on Van Cleek FM. So we have the return of an important segment. Tina's Taboo.
Thanks. I was waiting for the theme song. So I want to talk about hair.
Okay.
In women.
Okay.
And specifically how long hair is kind of viewed as the ideal length of hair for women.
I feel like I can talk about this a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I've had many lengths of hair.
Yeah, same. I've had very, very short. I've had very, very long.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's dive in.
Let's do it.
So I was thinking about, okay, so what are some, you know, radical haircuts across time? So I have two examples that I could think of.
It's funny even just like that phrase, radical haircuts.
Radical. Yeah.
Like, okay. Anyways, continue.
Yeah, absolutely. So there's a early Regency hairstyle called cheveux à la Titus. So very, very short, kind of like Greek Romanesque hairstyle for women.
Okay.
So it's like with like short with a kind of like a curled wave.
Yeah.
But very short. Like very, very short. Kind of, I'm not going to say pixie cut, but slightly longer than a pixie cut.
Yeah. I followed you when I said Greek, and I actually think I followed you because this week I read that Robert Pattinson from Twilight fame cut his hair into the George Clooney Caesar haircut.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I don't know why I remember these pieces of information.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's what came to mind. And I'd forgotten about that George Clooney haircut until I read about anyways, but that's what comes to mind. It's sort of like that one for ladies and like wavier.
Yeah, exactly. So I imagine, you know, you would have your maid curl your hair a bit before you would go out. So the only most fashionable and adventurous women would dare to pull this off. And it was actually a homage to victims of the guillotine who would have their hair shorn before they were beheaded.
Humans are horrible.
Yeah. So there's this kind of this weird, you know, oh, French stuff is cool because it's, you know, the end of the 17th century, 18th century. And then the, that's going into the early Regency, which is kind of like 1795 through like 1820.
Hashtag history.
Hashtag history nerd. What up? So yeah, that's an interesting one. And so that was kind of a really short-lived one because, you know, you'd have to be very sure of yourself. You'd probably have to be, not necessarily, you might have to be married to pull that one off or at least be rich enough to not care.
Have you ever had your hair that short?
Not that short, but I've had very short hair.
I've had short hair that short for a considerable percentage of my life up until this point.
Nice.
It's very easy. Yeah. I don't think it's probably the most flattering. I just think there was a certain phase of my life I just really wanted to have no hair because it's a pain in the neck.
I actually find that long hair is easier to take care of personally.
It is.
Yeah.
When you have like medium length hair, you're like, this is a pain in the ass, so you cut it off short.
Yeah.
And it's not until you have really long hair that you realize how much easier it is
than the
medium and short length.
Yeah. Like I really like how my hair is out. It's like a little longer than my shoulders and then it's easier to brush than when I had longer hair.
Mm-hmm.
It gets less tangled. I feel like it's like a...
Tell us about your hair, Tina.
Tell us about my hair. But it's easier to take care of than when I had short hair where I'd actually have to style it.
Yes.
And be like, okay, this is how it looks today.
Yes.
This, and so, you know, I can just do a ponytail or a bun or whatever.
When you have cut your hair off, have people said to you, especially other women, have women said to you, oh my God,
You're so brave for cutting your hair off.
Personally, no, but I think I give up a vibe of like, don't talk to me like that sometimes. But the last time I cut my hair very short was, I think it was first year university.
Yeah.
Because I just like, I would just like, so I cut it all off in grade 9. And then I'd like kind of let it grow, and then I cut it off again because I get bored, and then I get to grow. Because in high school, who cares what you're doing with your hair? Like, I would dye it and like do whatever.
Oh, yeah.
Get undercuts like all the time. Yeah. And, you know. And then I went to university and I was like, oh, I can't dye my hair anymore because like I can't do any upkeep on it.
It's expensive. It's not cheap.
Yeah. And then, you know, I couldn't dye my hair in the university, like,
yes, you
dorm
can.
Bathroom.
Yes, you can.
Well, I know you technically can, but I was like, I'm not going to do that. That's so weird. So in first year when I was in residence, I was just like, okay, I just got it. Should find some photos of that hair, actually.
I didn't mean to cut you off, but no, do you have other hairstyles that were controversial or?
Yeah. So, or at least radical, I'd say.
Radical. Yeah.
I'd say the 1920s bob. So the post-war, you know, kind of rejection of, pre-war styles, you know, women, obviously like, clothes grew like much shorter, much tighter. Hair again shorter and like more like gone was the Gibson girl. Now you have the, you know, sophisticated bob for for a lady
to go with Chanel with your houndstooth.
Oh yeah, totally new look. So I don't know, I think there's an interesting connection between women in long hair and how, you know, straight men perceive women with long hair and women with short hair.
I feel like we're just sort of at the tail end of a particularly intense long hair era. Hair extensions for the last, basically, I feel like for the last decade and a half, really long hair and hair extensions have been the thing. And then I started to notice women cutting their hair off to the lob, as the long bob.
Yeah. Yeah. That's true.
And I'm convinced that this trend started because women's heads were so injured from wearing hair extensions for so long that they had to start cutting stop wearing the extensions and get new style of haircut to like actually like bring their hair back to life. So now it's like a trend, but it's really just because like everyone's like, I can't do this hair extensions anymore.
There's like, I feel like there's also kind of like a back to quote natural unquote hair, which, you know, isn't using as many products, hair extensions being a product.
Yeah.
Like I won't even touch base on like black women's hair. Cause like that's a whole other box that I can't really comment on.
Great movie, just good like, hair.
Good Chris hair, Rock. Chris Rock documentary. That is very interesting.
Cause it's a whole different world. We're definitely talking about like white woman hair.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Like waist length, wavy hair. It feels like it's been all the rage and I'm glad that it's over.
Yeah. I feel like it's also very seasonal.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, summer beach waves and Coachella hair. So we're kind of getting into high summer of that. And then in the fall, everyone's like, oh God, cut it off, put it under a hat.
I had the longest hair of my life probably like 2 years ago. And, I feel like I'm glad that phase is over.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've been into cutting my hair off. It's like getting shorter. Every time I go, I'm like, shorter this time.
Yeah. Well, it's good. I love your hair right now.
Thank you. Also, I feel like it's a lot of work and it's like, I feel like this is like a lot of women things. It's so much work and so much investment of time.
Yeah.
Like who's got that much time in the day?
Like I'm at a good, you know, I know I can be lazy if I don't even need to blow dry that much.
It's the best.
Yeah.
That is the one upside of short hair. You're just like, but it doesn't look that good. Like if I have short hair, it just kind of looks
you got to
like,
work on it or else it looks kind of like,
Also, I feel like if you have a really short haircut, you need to have a very expensive short haircut. You can't just go to like hair cutter because they cut, it looks like a little boy's like buzz cut. Yeah.
No. Especially if you're kind of, if you're into fashion, right?
Yeah.
Like you could get kind of a dumpy haircut kind of anywhere. But if you want to look, you know, fashionable.
What is even like a rebellious haircut these days? Like shaving your head, I feel like for a woman that's still a little bit
I'd say so. Rebellious. Like the Natalie Dormer half shaved head.
Oh yeah.
I think she did like it for
that's
a movie
almost mainstreamy now.
Yeah. She's also an actress. I really like the look of undercuts and shaved hair on women. Yeah. I just would dread the grow out.
What about that haircut where you just have bangs?
Like a monk?
Like not like a ring, like a Chelsea, like, I know like punks and skinheads sometimes have it where it's like the whole back of your hair is like shaved and then you just have little baby bangs. You know that haircut?
I do. I know of what you speak.
I feel like that's still like, if you have that haircut,
you are a radical lady. If you have
you're
that haircut,
attracting radical attention.
Absolutely.
Yeah. That's one of the only ones I can think of. There was a girl that went to my high school who won prom queen, and she had leopard print hair.
Oh.
It was like shaved on one side and leopard print. And then wearing a leopard print dress. I think she... I don't want to say she like fixed the results, because I liked her a lot and she was a really nice person and she was popular, but she wasn't like the most popular girl in school. It was like weird results anyways at prom king and queen. That's what I was getting at. Not saying that she had anything to do with it, but I feel like there was a person, I won't say that person's name just in case they still listen to me or follow me.
Okay. Yeah.
But I believe that there is a person that fixed the results.
Oh,
and the results were amazing because the girl with leopard print hair won. Obviously I'm not saying it's a bad thing. It's also, I liked her a lot. She was nice. I'm also not saying, I feel like it maybe sounds like I'm saying I fixed the results. I was not the person I'm speaking of.
Okay. This is a good story.
I dyed my hair platinum for prom.
Oh, I did hot pink 1 year.
I've always wanted to do pink hair. Maybe fun. This is my year.
Yeah. You're good though, because you already have the blonde. So I had to do bleach and then I had to do the bleach of the other color. But my hair takes dye, or at least I think it. I haven't dyed my hair in like 12 years, but at least back in the day, it took dye very well.
I used to dye my hair. I've dyed my hair red. I've gone through different red phases.
Oh yeah, definitely.
A bunch of different blondes, platinum, but I've never gone pink. But I feel like maybe this is maybe something I should do.
Yeah, man.
Or maybe I'll just be one of those like grandmas who goes purple.
Oh, the blue haired old lady.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I always enjoy that.
Oh yeah.
So we got a little song to play. By the Honeycombs. It was your pick.
It was. I heard this song on satellite radio.
Yeah.
And the disc jockey, satellite radio jockey.
Is that what they're called?
I have no idea what their names are. The host of the show.
Yeah.
He mentioned that this band had a female drummer, and I thought that was really freaking cool.
It is cool.
So, yeah, let's play it.
Okay. So this is the Honeycombs. Have I the right? It starts with an H, too.
Mm-hmm.
Told you that we must never ever part. Oh, have I the right to kiss you? You know I'll always miss you. I've loved you from the very start. Come right back, I just can't bear it. I've got to love and I love to share it. Come right back, I'll show my how much you send those shivers running down my spine. Ooh, have I the right to thrill you? You know I'm waiting till you give me the right to make you mine. Well, come right back, I just can't bear it. I've got some love and I long to share it. Come right back, I'll show back. I'll show my love is strong. Oh yeah, yeah.
You're listening to Let Her Speak on Van Cleek FM. That was the Honeycombs.
Whee!
We're on the letter H today. So there's a lot of famous people with the last name H, but musicians, this is one of the most famous musicians of all time. Last name starts with an H. Do you know who I'm speaking of?
Well, I do.
Whitney Houston.
Oh, yeah.
You could have pretended like you didn't know.
Oh, sorry. I should. Okay, wait, hold on. Do it again.
One of the most famous musicians of all time. Last name starts with an H. Do you know who I'm talking about?
No.
It's Whitney Houston.
Oh, my God. Good choice.
This is an authentic show, people.
Yeah.
So I kind of want to talk about Whitney Houston because I got really into researching Whitney Houston a few years ago. I was telling you this just before the show.
Yes.
Because back a few years ago, the listeners to Van Cleek FM might be familiar with the radio show Revision Radio. Before Revision Radio was a radio show, it was a newspaper called the Revision Newspaper. And back in the day, I used to write articles for the Revision Newspaper. And there was an article that I was assigned by the editor.
Were you the Southern Ontario correspondent?
I was the Southern Ontario correspondent. South, yeah, because I lived whatever. Like 6 hours away yeah. at this time. But it was a hyper local. For those of you listening don't know, it was an Onion sort of inspired satirical newspaper, hyper local to Van Cleek Hill, inspired entirely by Van Cleek Hill. But there was this idea for some of the editions were like current day, but then some of the editions were like from important moments in history. And there was a year that was assigned and it was I had to look for, like, I was the pop culture writer. I covered many topics, but one of the topics I covered was pop culture. Mm-hmm. So the year that the newspaper edition was from was the year that Whitney and Bobby got married. So I was assigned to do a story about Whitney and Bobby, written as if okay. it was right. current
like
to the
1986
year.
1986 or whatever.
Yeah, it was like 1990,
oh.
I think.
Oh, okay, cool.
So I realized I didn't really know much about Whitney Houston other than like what, you know, her tragic life had become in the later 2000s.
Right.
But I was supposed to be writing about like Whitney in the past when she was like at the peak of her career. So I got really in deep on researching Whitney Houston.
Okay. Awesome. And but from like 1980s.
From the 80s, but I developed some theories.
Okay.
Love First this. Of all, the prevailing belief is that Whitney Houston was an innocent, good girl. And okay. that Bobby was a bad influence on her.
Okay.
I do not believe this to be true.
No. Okay.
Whitney Houston previously dated Eddie Murphy.
Oh.
My belief is that Eddie Murphy was a bad influence on Whitney Houston. And then Whitney Houston, after the breakup, was devastated, was a bad influence on Bobby Brown. Went on to be the bad influence on Bobby Brown. Oh,
I can link these with songs, by the way.
Okay. What songs? We didn't prepare this.
No, not at all.
So what would be your songs?
Okay. So... Eddie Murphy.
Yes.
My Girl Wants to Party All the Time.
Yes.
Bobby Brown.
Yes.
That Girl is Poison.
Wait, Bobby Brown. That Girl's Poison. That's not Bobby Brown. That's Belle Biv DeVoe.
Ah, shoot.
It would have been perfect, though.
No. That was Belle Biv DeVoe. Darn it.
True. Party All the Time, though. That part works.
What's the Bobby Brown song?
My Prerogative.
Yeah. Nah, that doesn't really work.
But that was a song about like
it's almost blew your mind. Though.
It was his. I know you did. if I kept talking, I probably would have not noticed. But the listeners at home would have been like shouting at the radio. Party of the Time.
I'm gonna get angry texts.
So like in 2010, this is what's weird. In 2010, I think I might be the only person that cares this much. In 2010, Eddie Murphy said he absolutely never dated Whitney Houston. But there's this article that I found on the internet from 1991 from a reputable publication.
Okay.
Where Whitney, she talks about, so early in her career, she started to like struggle because there was a lot of, she was really popular. It okay. kind of reminds me a little bit from a modern age of like Britney Spears.
Okay.
You get like exceedingly popular. Yeah. America so
like,
loves.
Yeah. So like anyone they date is going to be like, oh my yeah. God.
It's like as soon as they get to the, it's like they're perfect. They're super popular. They have all these hit songs. And then as soon as it like reaches the pinnacle, America's like, we got to like pick them apart and pull them down.
Yes.
So then the rumors started, right? The rumors start that she's like a lesbian and that she's pregnant with Eddie Murphy's baby. And then she's a party girl and all these like horrible rumors. And she's struggling under the weight of that. And then she got booed. At an awards show.
Oh my God.
She had just won like a crap ton of awards. I'm trying to find it here. She had won, wait for it. She had won 2 Grammys, 2 Emmys, and 11 American Music Awards.
Okay.
And then she got booed at the Soul Train Awards.
What?
And it was like, it just like blows my mind because like she had become like too mainstream and too white. So that was like what her opinion was. That's what she felt like people so booed
because
her for.
So it's like because she sings like
she went like too mainstream and she did like white pop music. Yeah. So then all these rumors.
Ridiculous.
So this interview is taking place when she's talking about it, about all the boyfriends in her life, the men she's dated, and she's like speaking about love in this like really like intimate personal way that she wouldn't have later in her career because she, you know, got burned by these kinds of things. So this interview is taking place. Her 26th birthday, Whitney threw a big bash at her $11 million Morris County, New Jersey estate.
Oh my God.
It has an Olympic-sized swimming pool, tennis court, and 32-track recording studio. Among the many celebrity guests was Eddie Murphy, long rumored to be her boyfriend. This is from 1991, remember.
Oh.
When asked if the rather large diamond, 5.5 carats, dominating her left hand, is the present that Murphy reportedly gave her, she flashes a broad, girlish smile, casually extends her hand. The baguette diamond sparkles in the sunlight, and she says, "Isn't it beautiful? Yes, Eddie gave me this ring." What? Flash forward to 2010,
yikes.
Eddie Murphy denies that they ever dated.
Why would he do that? Was it because there's a big age difference or something?
I don't know, but I just feel like he wanted to separate like his legacy from hers.
Like he doesn't want to be... Like he doesn't want to think that he's being dragged down by her legacy.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
Shut up, Eddie Murphy. Party All the Time's a shit song.
Eddie Murphy hasn't really been a stand-up guy when it comes to like defending his relationships. But that's like a whole other.
Oh no! Didn't he like impregnate one of the Spice Girls?
He did, and then he denied it was his, and then she proved it was his with like a paternity test.
Yeah.
Even though he denied it was like just anyways.
Yeah. So ridiculous.
So yeah, he doesn't have like the greatest.
Not a stand-up guy.
But apparently, she also dated Arsenio Hall shortly thereafter before dating Bobby Brown. So she definitely had. Some relationships, but yeah, this is my theory. I just think all roads lead back to Eddie Murphy in my mind. Anyways, I mean, I don't know if this is that exciting a topic for other people, but for me, this is like a fascinating piece. It's like all you think of is like Whitney and Bobby, but there's a whole other side of Whitney.
Oh yeah, sure.
We got a little song to play from Whitney Houston.
Yes.
It's from her first album from 1985. We released this album in February 1985. It was on Arista Records. She worked with Clive Davis. Obviously, he discovered her.
Yeah.
Made $80 trillion on her career. He worked for a year and a half to find the songs for this album.
Oh, wow.
Because he found her in a nightclub and he believed that she was a star, but he felt strongly that it was going to be hard to find songs that would both suit her voice because she had such a powerhouse voice, but also be able to be popular in the mainstream.
Okay, sure.
So he searched far and wide and he found a number of songs. She went on to have 7 number one hits in a row.
Yeah.
Which is bonkers.
That's insane. She's something between 170 to 200 million worldwide album sales over the course of her career.
Yeah. Huge star.
Oh, yeah.
Whitney Houston. So we're going to play a little song.
Yeah.
This is one of my faves.
Cool.
It's an oldie. This is Whitney Houston's How Will I Know. We're back on Let Her Speak on Van Cleek FM. You're grooving over there.
I am. I feel it's like one of those, it's her first album. So that one, what, 80, what?
85.
85. Yeah. It's one of those songs that just keeps, it doesn't really say much.
No.
But it just keeps going.
Yeah.
But it's a good jam.
It is a good jam.
And that's okay.
It's got a big vocal.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like musicians should never cover Whitney Houston. Like, if you're going to cover anyone, don't cover Whitney Houston. It's like her and Aretha Franklin. Just don't.
Oh, yeah. No, no, no. Because you will be compared and you will be lacking.
Forever.
Forever.
A couple minutes left. 4 minutes left here on the show.
Yeah.
We thought we'd talk quickly about the band that we're going to play as our outro song. And that band would be Hole.
It's another female vocalist.
We've had a lot of
very different stylings, though.
Very different stylings, female driven music today, this week.
Yeah.
Which isn't intentional, but keeps happening, and that's awesome.
Yeah.
I'll say this about Hole. The album Live Through This, I loved it more than Nirvana, which is a controversial opinion for many people our age.
Oh, absolutely. For a lot of like dudes that are 10 years older than us.
Yeah. Like I feel like they'd be like mad about that.
They'd be he wrote her album.
Yeah. Which
I don't think so.
Still a good album. I don't care.
She sang it.
Whatever.
Yeah.
And, I can probably listen to it from beginning to end like 1,000 times more in my life and never be sick of it.
Oh, yeah. I have distinct memories of walking around with my Discman with the CD in it.
Discman.
Discman.
I had a burned cassette copy of this from a friend. Ooh.
That's even better on the hipster scale. Heads up.
Thank you.
Yeah.
It also means you don't have money to buy a CD player or a Discman. One of the great things about burning cassette copies of CDs is that you could fit a whole CD on one side, and then you could burn another CD on the other side of the cassette, so you could have like back to back.
That
was great. We could have two albums on one cassette.
That was a damn good album. And I liked the one where they did their kind of like comeback album with Celebrity Skin. They had a couple okay singles, but it wasn't the same. No,
doesn't have the same energy. Ed likes that one too. I don't know. I'm really like attached to the first album. That is a hipster thing to say. Speaking of hipsters, we should have maybe covered that topic, but I don't know. Talking about hipsters is very 2010.
Yes. Like there's only so much I can whine about fixie bikes, you know?
Yeah. You know, and I feel like what part of my problem with talking about hipsters is that I fit a lot of the definitions of hipster and I...
Yeah. You have a tattoo and glasses.
Yeah. And I work at a craft brewery.
Yeah.
I have a record player.
Yes.
I don't mean to be a living stereotype or anything, but I like the good things. I'm like a lot of the things that people associate with hipsterness. Stuff,
yeah.
Are liking good things.
Yeah. I like really good brunch.
Exactly. Anyway,
back to Hole.
Back to Hole. We should wrap up the show. We don't have too much time left, but we got one song. This was your choice off the record.
Yeah, I love this song.
Great video too.
Yeah.
Back when Much Music played videos.
Yeah. I don't get cable anymore, which we've covered before, but I remember seeing the video. I mean, like, this is what the cool chicks do. They wear slip dresses and they get pissed and they have shitty looking hair and shitty looking nails.
Grunge.
Yep.
So this is Hole. You've been listening to Let Her Speak. I guess we're back next week with the letter I.
Aye, aye.
Aye, aye. Thanks, Tina.
Thanks, Jackie.